Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune and this is part two of The Haunted School by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm recording this 2 days after the first half because my fiance is still gone, but I will probably get it up later so I can space out in between when I have to record again because I've done three in the last less than a week. Heyo to Zane listening. Heyo, Zane. And, what is going on? Oh, I finished a song that I'll put at the end of this or something called Chupacabra Fiesta with my buddy. And, it's exciting. It's our Halloween song. It's like the Monster Mash. So I'll put it at the end or maybe in the middle. Nah, I don't want to force you to do something. But, I'm proud of it. You know, beat from scratch, recorded well, everything sounds good. Spent forever mixing it. Everything's cool. Excited for fiance to come back. Just trying to hang in there. Chapter number 5. Heyo. Just really quick, I'm making an edit here to let you know that I recorded most of this tonight, but the intro part in the first four chapters were recorded last night, and I don't think they were very good. So hang in there with me, because it gets better. You know, just like all people living in gray world, it gets better. All right? That's all. Stick around. Thanks. 15. Hey! We've already scared them. They think we're a bunch of crazy savages. Don't try to scare them even more, Mary, the boy scolded. I'm not, she insisted, crossing her arms over the front of her gray sweater. It's graya dabudida. I forgot that everything is graya graya abudida, so gray. I just think they should know the truth, I think. The truth? I interrupted. What's going on here? This is a joke, right? You mean the truth? That thing that tells me not to smoke? I already learned about that. Yeah, go ahead. Wipe off the gray powder from your face and tell us it's a joke, Ben chimed in. The girl named Mary bit her bottom lip seductively. It doesn't say that, but I assume that was the intention. I saw a tear form in her left eye. It brimmed over and ran down her gray cheek. It's no joke, she choked out. Give us a break, Ben groaned. Just make the lights brighter and... That won't help, the boy cried angrily. Mary turned to us. She wiped the tear from her cheek. This is where I normally reference the Indian who got the, you know, saw the trash thrown on the side of the road, but I feel like I do that every time, so I'm not going to do it here. I'm just going to keep reading. I really thought they came to help us, she said in a quivering voice. I really thought that, finally... Her voice trailed off. Another girl put her arm around Mary. I shut my eyes for a moment. Squinting into the gray was giving me a headache. Will someone tell us what's going on? I heard Ben demand. I opened my eyes to see all five gray kids moving across the room toward us. Spiggity iggity spooky. The leader was a little taller than me. He had wavy black hair and big black eyes that crinkled at the sides. Yeah, you know, face is a meth. I saw a small gray scar above one eyebrow, which is, I seriously think, the coolest thing ever. Like, if I was, like, 10 or 11, and you're like, hey, Dune, you'll never be able to see out of this eye again, but we'll make it gray and give you a kick-ass scar down your face that goes from the top of the eye to below it, I probably would do it. You know, like, I'm already colorblind anyway. I'm not great with magic eye puzzles. I don't enjoy 3D movies. I don't need two eyes. He had broad shoulders beneath his gray t-shirt. He was very athletic looking. The girl beside him was tall and very thin. She had long gray hair that fell straight down her back. She had sad gray eyes. I'm Seth, the boy said. This is Mary, and this is... Eloise. Sorry, it's E-L-O-I-S-E. Eloise. He pointed. Eddie and Mona. Ben and I introduced ourselves. We didn't mean to frighten you, Mary repeated. But can we touch your colors? We haven't seen color for so long. Her voice cracked. She turned away. Ben and I have to get back to the dance, I told them, eyeing the door. You see, we're on the decorations committee, and a banner tore, and... You can't get back, Seth said, his dark eyes narrowed on mine. Mary told you the truth. You can't get back. That's stupid, Ben replied, shaking his head. We're in the old building, right? We'll follow the hall till it ends in the new building. The gym is right downstairs. Eloise coughed. I realized she was the one I'd heard when the lights were still out. She wiped her nose with a gray tissue. She appeared to have a cold. Wait, I don't know the rules of being a ghost. Like, I feel like I know the rules of being a vampire. But a ghost comes with weird things. Like, I know, like, you have to be dressed nice and a kid and have some, like, unfulfilled wishes, right? But if you're sick, do you just keep it? Are you just always sick all the time? Because that seems miserable. I guess haunting things doesn't seem great to begin with, but at least you can kind of sneak up behind and watch TV, and then when you feel like being a dick, you can turn it off, because I feel like the program just did a weird thing and cut me off. It doesn't matter. Point is, I don't know the ghost rules. I should look them up somewhere. I remember watching Ghost Rules vs. Real World whatever. You're not in the old building, she said hoarsely. Then where are we? Ben demanded. The basement? The gray kids shook their heads. It's a little hard to say, Seth said. Well, we'll find our way back, I told them, starting for the door. I mean, the school isn't that big. We won't be lost for long. You're not really in the school? Eloise said, wiping her nose again. Excuse me? Ben cried. This looks a lot like a classroom to me. See? Desks. Chairs. The cool kid that's smoking cigarettes. Chalkboard. Let's go, I said. I gave him a little push toward the door. Sit down, Seth ordered simply. Ben and I were nearly to the classroom door. I said, sit down, Seth repeated. Dude's gonna have a drink. I'm drinking a Dirty Shirley, which it's funny because I'm like, I'm not gonna have beer at home, so I'll drink this instead, which is just syrupy and sugary. After this, I'll switch to something more health conscious. You'd better listen to him, the girl named Mona warned. Seth motioned impatiently to two desks. Sit. I swallowed hard. I felt a chill of fear over my entire body. I didn't understand what was going on here, and I didn't really want to understand. That's the problem with kids today, you know? They just look stuff up on Wikipedia, but they don't want to understand. They just want the answers, but they don't want to know how you get there. You know, it's the exploration for knowledge. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just wanted to get away from the gray room and these black and white kids. They moved across the room toward us. Their expressions were tense. Seth held his arms stiffly at his sides, as if ready for a fight. That's not how you get ready for a fight. Sit down, guys, he insisted. Sorry, some other time, Ben replied. He and I both had the same idea in our heads. We both turned and ran at the same time. We made a mad dash for the classroom door. I got there first. I grabbed the door handle, turned it, and pulled. Come on, come on, Ben cried frantically. It won't open, I shrieked. The door was locked. Also, don't all doors exit outward? Isn't that like part of fire code? By the way, I remember last time getting into fire code as well. I apologize that I seem to be hung up on that in this book specifically. Chapter 16. In a total panic, Ben grabbed the doorknob and bumped me out of the way. It's funny that panic and picnic look similar, but like have different meanings. I guess that explains all language. God damn it. He tugged with both hands. Then he lowered his shoulder to the door and tried pushing it open. But the door didn't budge. That door won't open, Seth said calmly. I turned. Seth still held his arms tensely at his sides. The other four gray kids stood on either side of him, their eyes narrowed at us, squinting at us through the dim gray light. Why is it locked? I stammered breathlessly. It isn't a door we can use, Mary replied. Another tear glistened on her pale gray cheek. It leads to the world of color. I think she's talking about Atlanta. Huh? Excuse me? I cried. Whose idea is this little joke? Ben demanded impatiently. It's not funny, guys. Not funny. I could see that Ben was about to lose it. I put a hand on his arm, a signal to calm him. I had a feeling that these kids weren't joking. How do we get out of here? Ben demanded. He banged a fist against the door. You can't keep us in this weird gray room. No way! Seth motioned to the desks again. Sit down, guys, he pleaded again. We're not trying to keep you here, and we don't plan to hurt you or anything. Ben glanced at his watch. But... Just said but twice, but I felt like doing it four times. I don't know, you know, I'm an artist, you know, I choose to interpret things my own way. We'll try to explain, Mary offered. You really should try to understand what has happened, especially since you'll be staying here with us, Eloise added. Another cold shiver ran down my back. Why do you keep saying that? I asked. They didn't reply. Ben and I dropped into desk chairs. The three girls took chairs across from us. Eddie crossed his gray arms and leaned against the blackboard. Hey, blackboard is like black beard, you know? But, it, you know, with one letter off. But the pirate probably didn't, you know, appreciate education. And blackboards probably don't appreciate piracy. So, you know, God, I am not on point today. Let me drink. Seth pulled himself up onto the teacher's desk. It's hard to know where to start, he said, running a hand back through his thick black hair. Start by telling us where we are, I demanded. And then tell us how to get to the gym, Ben insisted. Make it short, okay? You've come to the other side, Seth said. It'd be funny if they were all the gay children, right? Because I keep saying gray, but what if I was just reading it wrong like I do over and over? And he's like, you came to the other side. Now you guys are doing stuff. And then Dune's like, remember when I made jokes about him being a catcher? But it was in a sexual context. And I was like, burn! Whatever. The other side of what? He asked impatiently. The other side of the wall, Seth replied. Eloise? Ella sneezed. Damn it, I wish I said hella sneezed. She pulled a wad of tissues from the bag at her side. I can't get rid of this cold, she sighed. I think it's because there's no sunlight. Vitamin D is important. You guys gotta go in the sun sometimes. Stop playing video games, idiots. Also, I might quit this in a little bit to play Rocket League with Caesar. No sunlight, I cried. The other side of the wall? I let out a loud groan. Will you all please stop talking in mysteries? Mona turned to Seth. Start at the beginning, she said. Maybe that will help them. Eloise fumbled around in her gray bag. Finally, she pulled out a pack of tissues and placed them on the desk in front of her. They were just normal tissues in a pack, not like those tissues you get at the weird hentai anime booths at Comic-Con that have weird, naked, possibly underage anime girls on them. And they're like, hey, use these tissues for whatever. And you're like, thanks, weird, gross dude who would choose this as a job. Well, okay, Seth agreed. The beginning. Ben and I exchanged glances. Then we leaned forward to listen. The five of us were in the very first class at Bell Valley School, Seth began. The school opened about 50 years ago, and... Whoa, wait a minute! Ben jumped to his feet. Tommy and I aren't morons, he declared. If you went to school 50 years ago, you'd be at least 60 years old. Seth nodded. Guess you're good at math, huh? It was a joke, but it sounded bitter. It wasn't a funny joke. It's probably more bitter than jokey. We haven't aged, Mary explained, straightening her black bangs with one hand. We've stayed exactly the same age for 50 years, like Keanu Reeves. Ben rolled his eyes. I think that elevator took us to Mars, he whispered to me. It's all true, Eddie said. Seddy Eddie. Sane. shit, shifting his weight. We're frozen here. Frozen in time. The elevator must move between your world and ours, Mona said, gazing back at it. No one else has ever come here by elevator. It's not how we arrived. I don't understand, I confessed. None of this makes sense to me. The elevator was boarded up. Another reference to Adam's song. Hidden. Why did it bring us here? It must be the only connection between our worlds, Mona said mysteriously. This is all crazy. We're missing the dance, Ben whispered. Let them finish the story, I told him. Then we'll get the fuck out of here. Seth stood up and began pacing back and forth. The first class at Bell Valley School was pretty small, he told us. There were only 25 of us. It was a brand new school, and we were kind of happy to be the first ones in it. Eloise hella sneezed. I got it right that time. Mona said, bless you. One day, our principal announced it was class photo day. Seth continued, a photographer came to take a group photo of our class. Was it a color photo? Ben broke in. He laughed, but no one else did. I would have, that's funny. School photos weren't in color in the 1940s, Mary told Ben. Ben, they were in black and white. We all gathered in the library to take the photo, Seth continued. All 25 of us. The photographer lined us up. Turning pages. I recognized him right away, Eddie broke in. He was an angry man, an evil man. He hated kids. We were all in a crazy mood, Mona added. We were laughing and joking around a lot and pretending to wrestle. You don't have to pretend to wrestle, you can just do it. Unless it's like WWF wrestling or WWE as the kids know it. You know, because that you can't just hit people with chairs randomly. They wouldn't appreciate it. And the photographer became furious because we wouldn't stand still for him. We all hated that motherfucker, Eddie chimed in. The whole town knew he was evil, but he was the only photographer around. Wait, the whole town knows the dude's evil and they just let him alone with kids? Why didn't someone else just kill him and take a camera? Like, there was, like, no evidence back then. People just killed people. It was part of life. Kill him and take the camera and don't let him touch your kids. Anyway. I'll never forget his name, Eloise said softly. Mr. Chameleon. Ooh, maybe he's the dad of Kid Chameleon from the Genesis game. I'll never forget it because a chameleon changes colors and we can't. All right. That makes sense. You know, it seems convoluted. You could just remember his name. He was probably like the last dude you saw. Mr. Chameleon? Ben snickered. Did he used to hang out with Mr. Lizard? Good stuff. Ben, stop, I replied. I could see that Ben didn't believe a word of Seth's story. He kept making jokes, but Seth and the others looked so solemn, so bitter, staring at their old-fashioned clothes and haircuts, at their sad, gray faces. I believed them. They were the vanished kids, I realized. The lost class of 1947. Maybe the class is the reason for the baby boomers. Like why so many people in the late 40s and early 50s had kids. Oh, wait, no, it's because they came back from the war and fucked. The photographer lined us up in three rows, Seth continued, pacing back and forth, hands shoved in his gray pants pockets. He stood behind his big box camera. It had a drape on the back that he stuck his head under. Then he raised the flash high. He told us to say cheese. When did they start saying to say cheese in pictures? I hope R.L. Stine did his research and it wasn't like the 60s. Then the flash went off with a loud crack. But it wasn't a normal flash, Mary broke in. It was so bright. So bright. Her voice trailed off. So bright we couldn't see, Seth continued, shaking his head. The room. The library. It disappeared in the flash. And when we could open our eyes, and when we could see again, we We're here. Ben opened his mouth, probably to make another lame joke, but I guess he changed his mind. He closed his mouth without saying a word. We were here, Seth repeated, his voice shaking with emotion. He slammed his desk with his fist. We weren't in the library anymore. We weren't in the real school anymore. We were here, here in this black and white world. As if we were trapped inside of a photograph. Like, all right, I know we died in 1947, but you know the pictures in Harry Potter that all come alive and shit? Like, we were like those people, you know? Like, Sirius Black is screaming again and again, his mugshot. Harry Potter rules. I should turn this off and watch Harry Potter. Mona broke in. Trapped forever inside a black and white photograph. Trapped in Grey World, Eddie said bitterly. That's what we call it. Grey World. Because we're kids, we're not that imaginative. We've tried everything, Eloise added. We've tried every way to get back. We still call out for help. We still think maybe someone will come. I heard you, I murmured. I was in class, and I heard you calling. But, Ben sputtered. I don't get it. Where exactly are we? Apparently Ben hasn't heard of Grey World. They made it very clear that's where they are. No one answered for a long moment. Then Seth walked up to Ben, pressing his hands on the desktop. He lowered his face close to Ben's, staring Ben in the eyes. Ben, he said, did you ever see a wall and wonder what was on the other side? Well, it's another room, or if it's just like a wall, it's technically like a fence, I guess, and there's just other shit. Stop trying to get deep, R.L. Stine. Ben glanced uncomfortably at me. Yeah, I guess. I mean, the wall on the outside of the adult bookstore, I've always wondered what's in there. You know? And the wall to the room that's locked in my parents' dungeon that smells like leather? I've always wanted to go in there, but, you know, that wall blocks me. Well, we're on the other side, Seth cried. We're on the other side of your world, and now you are too. Soon, you will be one of us, Eddie said. No, Ben cried. He said more, but I didn't hear shit. I glanced down at my hands and opened my mouth in a high scream of horror. Eee! Are his hands turning gray? Did he steal that shit from Back to the Future? Which, by the way, they just had the Back to the Future 2, this is the day they came to in the future, oh my god, the internet's going crazy thing. And like Facebook was going nuts and Twitter, blah, blah, blah. And I wish I could be the kind of person that was like, yes, I'm on board with this, instead of being like, this is fucking retarded, what are you guys doing? Like, I wish I could go with the flow and not just be like, you guys are idiots, I hate you. I don't really have a point here, I'm just saying there's something wrong with me, I should just be able to relax. I literally have a tattoo that says relax that I'm looking at right now, like, that should be something that's easy for me, but it's not. I'm just like, yeah, I get it, you guys are on the bandwagon, awesome, good times. Anyway, I'm just complaining because I'm old and like complaining. Let's go on to the next chapter. All right, I've already left and come back, but you didn't know that. Chapter 17. My fingers, I shrieked. I held up both hands to show them. My fingers had turned gray. The gray was spreading onto my palms. Oh, great, that's where the gray agenda starts getting you. Ben grabbed my hand and pulled it close to examine it. Oh no, he murmured. No! Ben, yours too, I cried. He dropped my hand and studied his hands. His right hand was almost entirely gray. The fingers on his left hand were gray, and the color in his palm was starting to fade. No, no, he repeated, shaking his head. I raised my eyes to the five gray kids. You aren't joking, I choked out. Did these kids seem like jokesters to you? I don't think so. They stared back at us with blank expressions. Mary stared at my hands. It moves quickly, she said finally. You'll see. No, I cried, jumping to my feet. What can we do? We can't turn gray. We can't. You have no choice, Eloise said softly. You are in Grey World now. All color fades so quickly here. You are one of us now, Seth repeated, like an AFI intro song. Once you turn completely gray, you will never be able to turn back. No! Ben and I both protested. We're getting out, I cried. I kicked my chair aside and ran to the back of the classroom. That's where the cool kids are anyway. Teacher can't hear you there. You can pass notes and stuff. I turned the knob and struggled to pull it open. Ben stepped up beside me, and we both pulled until we were groaning, and our faces were bright red. Beats bright gray. Is that a color? I don't think that's a thing. Neon gray? Who knows? It's bolted shut from the other side, Seth called. You're wasting your time. No, I insisted. We're getting out. We're getting out now. With a desperate cry, I raised both fists and started pounding on the wall. Help us, I screamed. Somebody help us. Can you hear me? Please help. I pounded until my fists hurt. Then I lowered my hands with a sigh. Don't you think we already tried that? Mary asked bitterly. We pound on the walls and called for help all the time. It's one of those things we do, you know. We're just young kids. We pound on walls and call for help. But no one ever answers, Eloise added, and no one ever comes to help. I gazed down at my hands. They were completely gray to the wrists. I pulled up my sleeves. The color of my arms was starting to fade. Ben, I started. He was staring at his gray skin, too, looking like some sort of sexy, sexy gargoyle. My mind whirred. I suddenly felt dizzy. How do we escape from here? How do we get back to our world? Maybe the elevator, Ben suggested. It's no use, Seth warned. But we ignored him and bolted through the aisle between the desks to the alcove in back of the big, gray classroom. The narrow alcove that held the elevator. There's no elevator button, Mary called after us. No way to call the elevator. It never runs, Seth added. It hasn't run in 50 years. When we heard it moving tonight, we couldn't believe that shit. There's got to be a way, I cried. I smoothed my hand over the wall beside the elevator doors. There's got to be a hidden button. The wall felt warm and smooth. Oh, maybe the wall's alive, and the building's going to take their souls and become like a mech building and come alive and attack. I don't know. I pounded it with my fist until my whole hand ached. Ben pressed his hands against the crack between the two doors. With a groan, he struggled to pry open the elevator doors. No luck. A screwdriver? He called over his shoulder. Apparently listening to the music from English Oi skinhead band Screwdriver gets him pumped up and in the mood for prying open doors and kicking in the heads of immigrants. Does anyone have a screwdriver? Or maybe a knife? Or a stick? Or something, I added, to pry the doors apart. We tried it, Eloise moaned in her hoarse, scratchy voice. We tried Urethang. Urethang! I kicked the metal doors hard. I felt so frustrated and angry and frightened all at the same time. I was experiencing so many emotions, and in that moment, I realized I was becoming a man. Pain shot up my foot and leg. I hobbled back against the wall, breathing hard. My shirtless sleeves were graying. I pulled up one sleeve. The gray on my skin had moved past my wrist. Sit down with us, Mary called. Sit down and wait. It really isn't that bad. You'll get used to it, Seth added softly. Used to it? I cried shrilly, still breathing hard. Used to a world without any color? What is this, Montana? I don't know. Is it a lot of white people in Montana? I should have just gone with what is this, Canada, right? There's black people in Canada, right? I used to listen to some Canadian hip-hop, but I think they're all white guys. Used to a world without any color? Used to being in total black and white and not being able to go home or go anywhere? Mary lowered her head. The others gazed back at Ben and me, their gray faces solemn and sad. I'm not going to get used to it, I stammered. Ben and I are getting out of here. I raised one hand and rubbed it with the other. I guess I thought maybe I could rub the gray off, just like you could pray the gay off. My skin felt warm and soft as ever. It didn't feel any different, but the color was gone. And the gray was creeping up fast. What are we going to do? Ben cried. His eyes were wild, and his voice came out high and shrill. The window, I shouted, pointing. Come on, out the window. I like that the kids have been there for 50 years, and they're like, they probably just gave up and didn't try anything ever. No, Seth shouted. He moved quickly to block our path. No, don't. I'm warning you. Don't go out there, Eddie cried. Why are they trying to stop us? I wondered. They don't want us to escape. They want to keep us here. They want us to be as gray as they are. Out of the way, Seth, I cried. Jesus Christ. Ben dodged one way. I dodged another. Seth made a grab for me, but I slid away from him and dove to the window ledge. Staring out into the gray night, I shoved up the window. Stay away from the kids. They're crazy. They've all gone crazy. They'll take you to the pit. We heard their voices and warnings behind us, but they didn't make sense to us, so we ignored them. Ben and I climbed onto the window ledge and scrambled out. Like a couple of eggs, I bet, huh? That's something that scrambled. Good one, Dune. Chapter 18. Ben dropped onto the ground with a hard thud. I followed him, landing on my feet on soft grass. The night sky spread overhead, a solid black. No stars, no moon. Seth and the others appeared at the window, shouting and signaling for us to come back. But we both took off, jogging over the dark grass. We crossed the street and saw low, dark houses set far back on gray lawns. No light shone in the windows. No cars came by. No one was out walking. Is this Bell Valley? Ben asked as we crossed another street and kept jogging. Why doesn't it look familiar? Why are you surprised by that? You ventured into some other realm where colors are different and shit, and like physics are like weird. I guess I just assumed that part, but still. Why are you expecting it to be the same? Why doesn't anyone get goosebumps when something clearly extraordinary is happening to them? They're always just like, hey, this is strange, but why isn't everything the way it should? Ah, whatever. I am off today. I need to just give this up. These aren't the same houses across from the school, I said. A chill of fear made me stop running. How could there be a whole different town out here? And where are the people who lived here? Was it deserted? Was it like a movie set? I suddenly wondered. Not a real neighborhood at all? The kids' warnings repeated in my ears. Maybe Ben and I made a mistake, I thought. Maybe we should have listened to them. Oh, don't trust yourself. Don't give in to the lies of the gray agenda. I turned back toward the school. Wisps of fog came floating up from the ground, as if hell itself was having a vaping convention. The school rose darkly behind the spreading gray mist. Startled, I squinted hard at it. Whoa, Ben, I gasped. Check out the school. He was studying it, too. That's not our school, he exclaimed. We were staring at a low, square building with a flat roof, only one story high. Gray light flooded from the only window facing the street. Wait, if that's what the school looked like, why were the kids that living there aware of the elevator, right? I guess, I don't know. What's the point I'm trying to make? The light fell on a slender, bare flagpole planted near the street, and a small set of swings, silvery gray, in the dim wash of light. We're in a different world, I said, my voice shaky and shrill. We're in a different world, so close to ours. But, Ben sputtered. God, that's like the biggest cop-out line in Goosebumps, and they use it in every book now. I don't feel like they did at the very beginning. The clumps of fog began to float together, forming a billowing wall. It moved quickly up from the ground, hiding the bottom of the building from us now. Let's keep going, I urged Ben. There's got to be a way out of here. We started to jog again, moving past darkened houses, and empty lots, running under black-trunked trees, all winter bare, our shoes clattering over streets without cars or streetlights. I kept gazing up at the sky, hoping to see the moon or the blinking light of a star, but I stared up at... Deep, 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 drink, drink, drink. But I stared up at a ceiling of solid black. We're like shadows, I thought. Shadows running through shadows. Isn't that like an idea song where he's like getting deep and he's like, yo, even shadows have shadows. And I'm like, man, you are deep. And then I got older and I was like, what the fuck are you saying, idea? That everyone has bummer shit going on? Shut up. Stop it, Tommy, I scolded myself. Don't start thinking weird thoughts. Just keep your mind straight ahead on what you have to do. Which is to find a way to escape from this place. We jogged past black mailboxes, across another empty street, and as we ran, the fog swept all around us. Everything was black. We went to a computer, and the only website that worked was worldstarhiphop.com. It floated low at first, clinging to the dark grass, billowing over the streets. There was no breeze, no wind at all. Because black people don't like yachting, and you need wind for yachting. But the fog quickly began to rise. It rose all around us, hiding the houses behind it, hiding the bare trees and streets and driveways, hiding everything behind a thick, swirling curtain of gray. With a groan, Ben stopped jogging. I ran right into him. Hey, I cried out breathlessly. Why'd you stop? I can't see shit, he choked out. The fog. He lowered his hands to his knees and leaned forward, struggling to catch his breath. We're not getting anywhere, are we? I asked softly. I mean, we could probably keep running forever and never, Jesus Christ, using actual books sucks, get out of this place. Maybe we should wait till morning, Ben suggested, still bent over, when the fog will probably be gone and we can see where we're going. Maybe, I said doubtfully. I shivered. I wondered how much of me had turned gray. Did I have any color left? Or was I like Rachel Dolezal? Is that her name? The lady who claimed to be black but wasn't? She was stupid. I pulled my shirt and struggled to see. Pulled up my shirt and struggled to see, but it was too dark. Everything looked black and gray. I couldn't tell. What do you want to do? I asked Ben. Go back to school? The fog swept around us, so thick I could barely see him. I don't think we could find the school in this fog, he stammered. I could hear the fear in his voice. I turned back. He was right. I couldn't see the street or the trees or the other side of the thick mist. Maybe we can retrace our steps, I suggested. If we keep going in that direction, I pointed, but in the thick, spinning fog, I wasn't sure it was the right direction. Why don't you guys both stand still and then have someone turn around 180 degrees and then you're like, yo, you are turned around 180 degrees. I can verify that. Now let's keep walking that way and I'll turn around and join you. That's what I would do. But I also probably wouldn't go to school because I'm 29. This was dumb, Ben muttered. We should have listened to those kids. They were trying to help us and I think it's too late to think about that. I said sharply. I have an idea. Let's try to find our way through the fog to one of those houses and spend the night in them. Ooh, it's their ghost in the fog. That was a Cradle of Filth reference. You mean break in? Ben demanded. Just because we're in an all-black world doesn't mean we're going to start breaking into houses. Oh, I'm sorry. That one was a little too far. They seem to be empty, I replied. The fog swirled thicker, wrapping us up tightly. I tugged his arm. Come on, we'll find a place to wait until morning. It's better than standing out here all night. I guess, he agreed. We turned and began walking up a sloping front yard. We had to move slowly because we could barely see. We took 6 or 7 steps, and then I let out a scream as someone knocked me to the ground. I bet it's an inanimate object. Just letting you know that. That's how these twists work. Heyo. To be totally honest with you, this is the next night, by the way, that I'm recording. I considered for the first time just deleting everything I had done thus far on this half of the book. When I finished recording last night, I was like, fuck, I am not bringing it. This is not good. So hopefully I'm just being down on myself. And I also just don't want to start over recording again because it takes, you know, about a little over 3 hours or so to record half of a Goosebumps. So, I don't know, 6.5 hours or so for a whole book. So point is, I'm going to try to make this one a little bit better, but we'll see what happens. But I'm just being upfront, you know? All right. Let's get into this. Chapter number 19. Oh! A terrified moan escaped my throat. I rolled onto my back. A black cat tumbled beside me. A cat? I remember. They thought that someone had knocked him over and it was a cat. I knew it wouldn't be a person. It had jumped onto my shoulders from a tree limb. The cat stared up at me with gray eyes. Its black fur bristled. Its tail stood straight up. And then it took off, vanishing into the fog. I pulled myself shakily to my feet. "Tommy, what happened?" Ben demanded. "Didn't you see that cat?" I cried. "It jumped down on me, knocked me to the ground. I thought. The words caught in my throat. They caught a thought, which means a different thing to young people, but not me. "Are you okay? I couldn't see it." I'm going to make it much better now the dishwasher's making noises in the background. Hopefully this booth will not pick it up, but I'm sure it will a little bit. Ben replied, "The fog, it's so thick. All of a sudden, you screamed. You scared me to death." I rubbed the back of my neck. "Why did that cat jump on me like that?" I wondered. I guess this is someone that doesn't have cats. That's not true. One of my cats will jump on me all the time. The fat one. The fat one with tiny pointy legs that just stick into you. Since the fiance's been out of town, which finally, goddamn, she gets back tomorrow morning. All he does is just demand attention constantly. Like, someone came over today that he didn't like before, and he's just rubbing up against. By the way, I was like, I'm going to make this one better, and then I just told a story about my cat that no one cares about. "Maybe it's lonely," I decided, "with no other people around." And just as I thought that, I heard a girl's voice. "Over here," she called, and then a boy very nearby shouted, "Don't let them get away! Grab them!" Oh, shit. Chapter number 20. Ben and I squinted into the fog. We heard shrill voices, and then the thump of footsteps over the grass. But we couldn't see shit. We didn't know which way to run. "This way, over here," the girl repeated breathlessly to her friend. "Stop them," another girl chimed in. Ben and I spun around. "Right round, baby, right round." "Who's there?" I tried to shout, but my voice spilled out weak and frightened. "Who is it?" And then figures appeared in the swirling fog. Shadowy, gray figures, running toward us and then stopping, just near enough to see through the curtain of gray. Staring, surprised faces, their arms out, bodies tense, hair blowing in the circling mist. Blowing heck of vape clouds. I backed up to Ben. We stood back to back, gaping out at them as they formed a tight circle around us. I think they're expecting them to break dance. All right, that's not a funny joke either. I need to get my head in this. I'm drinking, I made a giant drink in an empty handle of vodka of a third rum, a third pineapple juice, like from the big can, and a third limeade. And I've been drinking that all day. I went to the pool. It was very nice. Worked on music. I'll still put that song at the end of this, hopefully. "They're kids," Ben exclaimed. "More kids." "And are they the rest of the missing class?" I wondered. "Hey," I called to them. "What are you doing out here?" They stared back at us in silence. The fog billowed and shifted. I saw a short, black-haired girl whispering to a big kid in an old-fashioned-looking black jacket. A blacket. And then the fog covered them again, and they seemed to vanish before my eyes. Other kids appeared and disappeared. There must have been about 20 of them motherfuckers. They spoke softly to one another, gazing out at us, keeping in a tight circle. "What are you doing out here?" I repeated, trying not to sound as frightened as I felt. "My friend and I were lost. Can you help us?" "You still have color," a girl murmured. "Color, color, color." The word was repeated among the circle of gray kids, as if they were somewhat progressive people surrounding a black person in the 50s, right? God damn, I'm really off still, aren't I? Maybe I need to take a break from Goosebumps. This is the third one I've done in less than a week. We'll see. "They must be the other kids from the class," Ben whispered. "The kids Seth and the others warned us about." Seth's warning flashed back in my mind. "They're crazy. They've all gone crazy, except for the Bloods, which went brazy, which is even worse." "We're lost," I cried. "Can you help us?" They didn't reply. They whispered excitedly amongst themselves. "Turn, turn," a boy called suddenly, once again trying to turn people into their gray agenda. So loud, I jumped back. "What did you say?" I demanded. "Can you help us?" "Turn, turn," a girl repeated. "We don't belong here," Ben cried. "We're trying to get away from here. We are totally lost." "Turn, turn," a few more voices murmured. "Turnderd, right? Please answer us," I begged. "Can you help us?" And they all chanted, "Turn, turn." And they began to dance. Keeping the circle tight, they moved to the right in a rapid rhythm. They raised one leg high and stepped to the right, lowering their left leg, and gave a little kick. They were doing the time warp, essentially. Then another high step to the right. And then a something, something, something. "Hey, I'm Tim Curry, and I'm gonna be real creepy. Not as creepy as I am now. Have you seen any recent pictures of me? It's horrifying." "Please stop," Ben and I both pleaded. "Why are you doing that? Are you trying to scare us?" "Turn, turn." The dark, dancing figures moved in and out of the swirling fog. The fog lifted for a moment, and I saw that they were holding hands as they danced, holding hands tightly, keeping the circle closed, keeping Ben and me inside. "Turn, turn," they chanted, a step, then a kick, "turn, turn." "What are they doing?" Ben whispered to me. "Is it a game or something? What kind of gray lord dance is that?" I swallowed hard. "I don't think so," I replied. The fog shifted again. It lowered over the grass, then billowed away. I squinted at the chanting faces as they moved in the circle. Their expressions were hard. Their eyes were cold. Cold and unfriendly faces, like Eskimos. "Turn, turn, turn, turn." "Stop it," I screamed. "Give us a break. What are you doing? Please, someone explain." "Turn, turn," the chant continued. The circle of kids moved to the right. They stared at Ben and me, as if challenging us, as if daring us to stop them. "Turn, turn, turn to gray. Turn, turn, turn to gray." Oh, so they made a whole song together. It's weird that they'd put that together. Like, clearly it seems like this is the class from 1947, which when this was written was 50 years old, and they're just sitting there like, what the fuck should we do with our time? Well, what if someone comes over here? I don't know. No one else has ever come here. Well, what if they happen to do so? I don't know. Should we maybe make a dance and a little song or something, you know, to scare them? I guess so. I mean, we've already experimented in tons of ways, you know. This can't be a waste of time. Let's try this out. The circle spun around us. The kids danced in rhythm in the billowing fog. A steady, frightening rhythm. So cold. So menacing. So crazy. Turn, turn, turn to gray. Turn, turn, turn to gray. And suddenly, watching their eerie dance, listening to their machine-like chant, I knew what they were doing. It was some kind of weird ceremony. They were watching us, holding us there until we were gray like them. Now, I started this out joking about all the gray agenda and turning people gray and whatnot, but now I'm starting to think it's some sort of story that's about R.L. Stein speaking out about his strange, strange right-wing leanings about the gays converting the youth. We'll see if it goes deeper. I'm sure it will. So deep. Chapter 21. Turn to gray. As the kids moved in their tight circle, chanting softly, I studied their faces. So hard, so cold. Oh, now I get the meaning of the tight circle. Before you get moved over to the gray agenda, your circle's super tight. But then, you know, after a while, hanging out with the grays, it's, you know, pretty blown out. They were trying to frighten us. I counted 9 girls and 10 boys, all dressed in old-fashioned clothes, big, heavy shoes, and I suddenly wished this was all an old movie. All just a movie and not really happening to Ben and me. Turn to gray. I assume that has to be the tone that they mean it in, right? Why are you doing this? Ben shouted over their eerie chant. Why won't you just talk to us? They continued their circle dance, ignoring his cries. I turned to him, leaning close so that he could hear me. We have to make a run for it, I said. They're crazy. They're going to keep us here until we're totally gray like them. Ben nodded solemnly, his eyes on the circle of kids. Wait up. Hey, while I'm taking this sip, why don't you say I and then spell cup? Why are you trying to look at me, pee? He cupped his hands around his mouth to reply to me, and I gasped. His hands were completely gray. I raised both of my hands to my face. Gray. Solid gray. How far had the gray traveled? How much time did Ben and I have? We've got to get away from them, I told him. Come on, Ben, on the count of three. You run this way, and I'll run that way. I motioned in two different directions. Well, I guess you'll never be in one direction. Good stuff, dude. If we take them by surprise, maybe we can break through, I said. And then what? Ben replied. I didn't want to answer that question. I didn't know the answer. Let's just get away from them, I cried. I can't stand that stupid chanting for one more second. Ben nodded. He sucked in a deep breath. One, I counted. The chanting kids had tightened their circle. They were nearly arm in arm. Had they read our minds? What do you mean read their minds? You guys were talking out loud and they're right next to you. It's not mind reading. That's listening. Two, I counted. I tensed my leg muscles, prepared to run. The curtain of fog had lifted. Puffs of mist clung to the ground, but I could see dark houses beyond the circle of kids. If we can break through their linked arms, maybe we can hide in one of those houses, I thought. Good luck, Ben murmured. Three, I shouted. We lowered our heads and started to run. Chapter 22. I went about 4 steps and slipped on the wet grass. I guess that's why they say keep off the grass. Like, also pot. You know. I drank. It makes the goosebumps better. Ow! I cried out as pain shot up my right leg. Did I pull a muscle? The chanting stopped. The gray kids let out shouts of surprise. My leg throbbed with pain. I had to stop. I bent to rub the leg muscle. Really? It hurts that bad that you just have to stop right then? Raising my gaze, or gazing as I call it, I saw Ben dart toward the circle. Aye! He let out a wild scream as he ran. 2 boys tackled him. Typical Grey Lords. 1 high, 1 low. 1 top, 1 bottom. You see what I'm getting at here? Ben dropped to the grass. Obviously, the grass, marijuana, turns you into a homosexual. Everyone knows that. And they fell on top of him. Get off me, Ben shrieked. A boy and a girl grabbed me roughly. They spun me around and shoved me hard toward Ben. Let us go, I cried. What are you doing? Why are you keeping us here? They pulled Ben to his feet and shoved us together. Now kiss. They didn't say that. I just needed something while turning the page. They grouped around us quickly, bodies tensed, ready to capture us if we tried another escape. We're not going anywhere, I sighed. Will somebody please explain what's going on here? Turn, turn, a girl with long gray braids said in a husky voice. A husky voice for a girl? Husky girl? Like a bull something or other? Please, this is 100% what he's trying to do. That's probably why this series got canceled a few books later. And by canceled, I mean he just, like, sailed off on a yacht that stayed buoyant because it had so much cash in it. I've heard that, I cried angrily. Turn to gray, the girl added. We're waiting for you to turn. Why? I demanded. Just tell us why. No color in the moon, she replied. No color in the stars. No color in my dreams, a boy added sadly. Please make sense, Ben pleaded. I don't understand. I rubbed my sore leg. The pain had faded, but the muscle still ached. Just help us get back to the school, I pleaded. We left the school, a boy shouted. No color in the school. No color anywhere, a girl cried. We'll never go back to school. No school, no school, no school, some kids chanted. Finally, a chant that I agree with, am I right? Fuck school. But we have to get back there, I insisted. No school, no school, no school, they chanted again. It's no use, Ben whispered in my ear. They're totally messed up. They don't make any sense at all. It just seems like they love chanting. It's like just a bunch of fucking juggalos out here. Just chant, chant, chant. Family, whoop, whoop, magic, magic, ninjas, what? I just revealed I know way too much about the juggalo world. I felt a chill. The air was turning colder. A wave of terror swept over me. I struggled to fight it back. Kids grabbed Ben and me. They pushed us roughly across the grass. They held us tightly by the shoulders and forced us forward. Where are you taking us? I screamed. They didn't answer. Ben and I struggled to break free, but there were too many of those motherfuckers and they was too strong. They pushed us up a dark hill. Wisps of fog swirled around our feet as we climbed. The tall grass was wet and slippery. Where are we going? I cried. Tell us, where are you taking us? The Black Pit, a girl exclaimed. She pressed her mouth close to my ear as we walked. Will you jump, or will we have to push you? Damn. I don't know how I feel about that Black Pit. Chapter 23. Pit? What kind of pit? I screamed, secretly hoping it was a Brad Pit. Or Pit from Kid Icarus. No one answered. We stopped at the top of the hill. They kept their tight grip on Ben and me. Over Ben's shoulder, I saw four kids approaching. As they came nearer, I saw that they were carrying four large buckets. They set the buckets down in a row. They shoved Ben and me toward them. Steam poured over up from a dark, bubbling liquid inside. A sharp, sour aroma rose up in the steam. A girl carried a stack of metal cups in her arms. She handed a cup to a boy. He dipped it into the thick, black liquid. It made a hissing sound as the cup dipped low into the liquid. Oh my god, maybe it's like Dip from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Maybe they're going to kill cartoons. I think that the people that program cartoons already killed cartoons. They're not on Saturday morning. By the way, I did get to eat cereal today. I had a Rice Krispie Treat cereal. I had to buy it from Canada and milk. And I was like, I'm going to watch some cartoons. But then it turned out that that Howard Stern was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. So watch that instead. But the point is, I was all ready to do that little kid routine. I guess I'm not young at heart because I didn't do it at all. Oh, I gasped as the boy raised the steaming cup to his lips, tilted his head back, and poured the disgusting liquid down his throat. No color in the cup, a boy shouted. Drink the blackness, a girl cried. What a fucking metal-ass quote that is. Drink, drink, drink. Kids cheered and applauded. That's what happens every time I go to a family event where, like, I have a couple beers, and then my nephew's like, drink, 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 and I'm like, okay, as kids are cheering. That's what I imagine them doing. In reality, I'm the only one drinking. By the way, I went to dinner last week with my fiance's mom and her grandma, and was ordering shots for myself, because, I don't know, I was drinking all day, and then we went to dinner, and then we went to a Mexican place, so I got tequila a couple times, and then came home, and I was like, that was probably fucking bizarre, that we're all just at, like, a family dinner, and I ordered numerous shots, but, you know, I'm marrying into it, so, they gotta accept me. They lined up eagerly, and as Ben and I stared in horror, they each dipped a cup into the smelly black gunk, and then drank it down. No color in the drink. No color in the cup. Drink. Drink the blackness. I tried once again to break free, but three boys held me now. I couldn't move. Kids were cheering and laughing. A boy drank a whole cup of smelly black liquid and then spewed it into the air. Maybe he heard some shocking news. Check this out. Scarlett, baby girl, you're pregnant? That's what I do, because I spent a lot of money getting her snipped in certain ways that don't allow being pregnant, so I would do a spit take. But I don't have black liquid. Whatever, let's keep going. Loud cheers. A girl spit loudly and sprayed black gunk into the face of the girl beside her. A boy sprayed the black liquid up like a fountain. We cover ourselves in blackness, a boy boomed in a loud, deep voice. We cover ourselves because there is no color in the moon, no color in the stars, no color on the earth. A girl spit black gunk over the hair of a short boy with glasses. The black liquid rolled down his forehead slowly and over his glasses. He bent to fill his cup, drank, and spit a gob of it down the front of the girl's coat. That's typical, like, young dude move of, like, I'm going to throw this at you. Whoops, it went down your cleavage. I guess I'll check it out while you try to fish it out. Boys. Laughing and cheering, hooting at the top of their lungs like Darius Rucker, they sprayed each other. Spit and sprayed the hot black gunk until they were all drenched, all dripping, covered in oily blackness. This sounds stupid, but I live right by where they do one of those color runs. Not like a Million Man March. A color run is like where stupid people, or smart people, I don't know, they run in a parking lot while people throw chalk on them of different colors, and then when they're done, they're like, hey, I'm rainbowy. Point is, this of just kids spitting shit on each other doesn't seem any more retarded than that. I don't know. No color in the cup, no color in the drink. And then the hands gripped me tighter, and Ben and I were pulled to the top of the hill. I gazed down the other side and saw a steep drop. And down below, at the bottom, too dark, I couldn't see shit, but I could hear the loud bubbling, like God was puffing at his bong. I could see thick steam floating up, wave after wave of it, and I could smell the sharp, sour odor so strong, I started to gag. The black pit, someone cried, into the black pit. Lots of kids cheered. Before, I thought this was all about R.L. Stein's views on homosexuality, but now I just think he went to the La Brea tar pits and wrote a book about it. Ben and I were pushed to the edge of the drop-off. Jump, jump, jump. Some kids began to chant as if they were members of the supergroup Crisscross. Jump into the black pit. But why? I shrieked. Why are you doing this? cover yourself in blackness. By only FUBU, a girl screamed. Cover yourself like us. Kids laughed and cheered. Ben turned to me, his face twisted in fear. It's boiling hot down there, he stammered, gazing into the bubbling pit below. And it smells like dead animals. Wow, he really did go to the La Brea Tar Pit. Jump, 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 kids began to chant, like the supergroup House of Pain. See, those two songs about jumping. My eyes swept over them, laughing, cheering, the black goo running down their faces, down their clothes. The kids tossed their heads back, spewed gobs of black liquid into the air as if they were 3-pack-a-day smokers for 20 years. Jump, jump, jump. All right, I'm out of jump song, sorry. Suddenly, the chanting and laughter stopped. I heard screams. Strong hands grabbed me around the waist from behind and shoved me hard into the steaming pit. All right, I'm avoiding the theory about the La Brea Tar Pits because they just had the sentence, strong hands grabbed me around the waist from behind and shoved me hard. Come on, R.L. Stine, be a little more subtle. Chapter 24. No, I didn't fall. I didn't go over the side. The hands held on to me, spun me around. I squinted into a familiar face. Seth, run, he cried. We came to rescue you. I turned and saw Melly and... Melly? Ah, God, part of me wants to make some sort of Asian joke, but in reality, I should just make a joke about how stupid I am. I turned and saw Mary and Eloise guiding Ben down the hill. Let's go, Seth cried. We started to run, but we didn't get far. The other kids had been startled at first, but they quickly got over their surprise and formed a tight circle around us. You guys shouldn't let them get in a circle around you. It seems like their finishing move. They've trapped us, I cried. How can we break through? Have you never played Red Rover? It's an entire game about running through kids' arms. It's pretty easy. You're a dude. Run through two girls. We stopped and stared at them as they began to circle us, moving silently, their faces smeared with the black liquid, their clothes drenched and stained. I thought we could outrun them, Seth started, but... I lowered my gaze to a pile of dead leaves on the ground, and an idea flashed into my mind. I shoved my hand into the pocket of my khakis. Get ready, I warned the others. Benton turned to me. Get ready for what? He demanded. Get ready, I repeated, not clearing up anything at all. Get ready to move. Oh, finally he cleared it up. He's going to use the lighter. Like I said, it seems weird that he has a lighter on him, but he's going to use it later and it's going to be important. Whatever. Chapter 25. Okay, I cried. I raised the lighter, clicked it once, twice. A yellow flame shot up. Interesting. It's yellow. Everything else around there is in shades of gray. But it's a yellow flame, like a Lil B album that never came to fruition. Ow! A girl cried. Several other kids cried out. Some shielded their eyes or turned away from the flame. Too bright! A girl screamed as if she was having a migraine. My eyes! It hurts my eyes! Grab it! Grab it! A boy wailed. But I wasn't finished. I lowered the flame to the pile of leaves at our feet. The leaves caught instantly with a loud whoosh. Bright orange flames roared up. No! The kids covered their eyes and cried out in pain. Let's go, I called to Ben and the others. But I didn't need to say it. They were already running over the dark grass. I lowered my head and ran after them. I heard kids screaming and crying behind us. I can't see! I can't see! Weren't you just... spraying black shit in each other's eyes? Now you can't see because there's a little light? Come on. Come on. Somebody do something, put out the fire. That's all of politics for me. Somebody do something. Put out the fire. And then everyone's like, I'm going to make it so I win. Something taxes. I don't know. I don't understand politics and I don't vote. I guess maybe I do understand politics and that's why I don't vote. Huh? Nah, probably not. I glanced back. The pile of burning leaves sent up a darting wall of red-orange light, so bright against the black night sky. Covering their eyes, the kids were scrambling away, running in all directions. No one was chasing after us. Trotting hard through the foggy night, Seth and the two girls led us away from the hill. We tried to warn you about the others, Mary said breathlessly, but you ran away. You wouldn't listen. They've lost their minds, Seth added sadly. They can't think straight anymore. They're like some kind of wild gang now, Eloise added. They have their own laws, their own strange traditions. They cover themselves in black goo every night. It's really frightening. How do they wash their clothes? That's why the five of us stay in the school, Eloise explained. We're afraid of them, too. They do horrible, crazy things, Mary said. They've given up all hope. They don't care what they do. It all seems like judgmental people, just really right-wing Christian people talking about gay people. They do horrible, crazy things. They've given up all hope. They don't care what they do. I don't know. This seems so suspicious. Like, at first I was joking, but now it just seems pretty legitimate. I shivered. The gray moon had disappeared behind clouds again, and the air grew cold. The three gray kids seemed to fade from the moonlight. I heard shouts from nearby, excited voices. They're coming back, I cried. We'd better hurry, Seth said. Follow us. He and the two girls turned and began running toward the street. Ben and I followed, keeping in the deep shadow of the tall hedges that lined the yards. I heard the shouts again from close behind us. Where are you taking us? Ben asked in a breathless whisper. Back to the school, Seth replied. To help us get out of this place? I cried. To help us get back to our own world? Nope, Seth replied, without slowing his stride. We told you, Tommy. We can't help you go back, but you'll be safer in the school with us. A lot safer, Mary added. Jogging hard, Ben and I followed them through the dark yards and over empty streets. The bare trees cracked and groaned overhead. The only other sound was the steady thud of our shoes as we ran. I didn't hear the other kids' voices, but I knew they had to be nearby, still searching for us. I breathed a sigh of relief when the little school building came into view. Ben and I hurried inside. We followed Seth and the two girls back to the large classroom. Mona and Eddie were waiting there for us. I sat down at a desk and struggled to catch my breath. Not quite a rhyme, but he did his best. When I looked up, I found all five kids staring wide-eyed at Ben and me. What's wrong? I demanded. They didn't answer for a long moment. Then, finally, Eloise said, You'd better check yourself out in the mirror. She pointed to a tall mirror near the elevator alcove. Ben and I made our way quickly to the mirror. My heart was pounding by the time I stepped in front of it. A heavy feeling of dread swept over me. I knew what I was about to see, but I prayed I was wrong. I took a deep breath and gazed into the mirror. Chapter 26. No! Ben opened his mouth in a sorrowful moment. SARS. Ben got SARS. The end. Ben opened his mouth in a sorrowful moan. We stared at two gray figures. My khakis, my shirt, gray now. My hair, my eyes, all of me, all in shades of gray. We're almost one of them, Ben murmured. He uttered another moan. What are the school colors here? Gray and gray? Solid. He tried to laugh, but I saw his whole body tremble. No, wait, I cried. Ben, look. We still have a little time. I pointed into the mirror. My ears were gray, and the gray had spread over my lips and chin, but my cheeks still held their color. My cheeks and my nose, they're probably rosy like an old drunk or Santa Claus, same thing. Ben's face was the same. That's all that's left, he sighed. The front of my face. We're sorry, Mary said, stepping up behind us. We're really sorry. In a few minutes, you'll be gray, like us. No, I insisted, spinning away from the mirror. There's got to be a way. Hasn't anyone ever escaped? Seth's answer shocked me. Sorry, drinking. Yeah, that's not going to shock you, is it? Yes, he said softly. One girl escaped from Grey World just a few weeks ago. After 50 years, one of us made it back to the world, Mona sighed. How? Ben and I cried at the same time. How'd she do it? I demanded. They all shook their heads. We don't know, Eloise replied. She just disappeared. We've been waiting for her to come back to us. When the elevator opened tonight, we thought it was her, Eddie said. We thought she had come back to rescue us. Greta! Her face flashed into my mind. Of course, Greta, that strange girl with her gray eyes, her white blonde hair, her all-black outfits. Greta had escaped from Grey World. Greta had returned to the world of color. I saw a documentary, and I'm pretty sure the only way to escape from Grey World is through Jesus Christ and lots of prayer, and apparently hugging people the same gender, because I don't understand. Never mind. No wonder she was so eager to get her hands on Talia's bright lipstick. Greta, why hadn't she returned to rescue her friends? How did she make her escape? My eyes traveled to the elevator at the back of the room. Open, I ordered it silently. Open up, now. Please? Open? But, of course, the gray doors remained shut. I shoved my hands into my khakis pockets. Thinking hard now, trying to fight down my own panic, I started to walk to the front of the room. Ben slumped into a chair, shaking his head sadly. This can't be happening, he muttered. He pounded the desktop angrily. This can't be happening. I like pounding things. Mussolini. Think, Tommy, think, I instructed myself out loud. There's got to be a way to stop the gray. There's got to be a way to bring the color back. Think. And then I looked in the bookshelf and saw a Bible. No, I'm kidding. That would be sweet, though. It would be sweet if it was just someone like snuck in a Goosebumps book that was all their agenda. My mind raced. I was too frightened to think clearly. Every muscle in my body tensed. Thinking hard, I pulled out the plastic lighter from my pocket. Nervous, I twirled it between my fingers, slid it from hand to hand. Think, think? Sorry. That wasn't a question. It said think, and then it said think in italics, and then I just said think in like a question voice while tilting my head, as if tilting my head would convey that it was italics. I fumbled with the lighter. It fell out of my hand and clattered onto the floor. I stared at it as I bent to pick it up. The lighter had been bright red, but now the plastic had faded to gray. But the flame, suddenly, I had an idea. I stood up and turned to the others. I raised the lighter. What if, I started, thinking hard, excited by my flash of hope. What if I lit up the room with yellow light from the other world? Do you think the color, the yellow light, would wash away the gray? You already tried it outside, Ben reminded me. But that was outside, I replied. What if I lit it near the wall? Do you think the bright color will make the gray wall fade away so we can escape to the other side, the side of color, which is separate but equal? They stared back at me, their eyes locked on the lighter in my hand. I didn't wait for the reply. I'm gonna try it, I announced. I raised the plastic lighter high. Their eyes followed the lighter as I raised it high. Good luck, Ben whispered. Good luck to us all. I clicked the lighter. Clicked it again. Clicked it. Clicked it hard. That shit wouldn't light.
Chapter 27.
I slammed the lighter onto the desktop. It's out, I wailed. I used it up. It's out of fluid. No, Ben cried. Try it again, Tommy. Please, give it one more try. I groaned and picked up the lighter. My hand was trembling. My throat suddenly felt so dry. It seemed like such a good idea, if only I could get it to flame. Here goes, I murmured, raising the lighter again.
One more try.
My palm, slippery from sweat, I nearly dropped the lighter again. I tightened my grip on it, raising my thumb, clicked it again, harder, and the flame shot up. By the way, the twist at the end of the last chapter was a lighter didn't work, and the last page I've read is, try the lighter again. Okay, it worked. That's conflict in these books.
Yes, Ben cried,
but his happy cry faded quickly. Because they got hecka faded because the lighter worked and they smoked all blunt. The flame leaped up from the lighter was gray. Everyone groaned. I stared at the gray flame, dancing on top of the gray lighter, held tight in my gray fist. It's no use, I choked out. I clicked off the flame and shoved the lighter into my pocket. I turned to Ben. Sorry, I muttered grumly. I tried. Glumly, I tried. Ben nodded, swallowing hard. I gasped. Ben, your face, your cheeks. Gray? I asked softly. I nodded. Your nose is all that's left, I told him. Your nose has the only color. Yours too, he reported. The five gray kids stood in silence across the room. Seth shook his head sadly. What could they say? This had happened to all of them already. They had lived in a black and white world for 50 years, like the Munsters, and now Ben and I were doomed to be part of that cold, gloomy world. I rubbed my nose. How long would it keep its color, I wondered. How long until I became one of them, one of the Grays? My eyes wandered to the elevator. If only Ben and I had taken the stairs to the art room. If only. Too late to think about that now. I stared hard at the elevator doors. Once again, I silently ordered them to open. Schmopin schmesame. I let out a startled cry when I heard a loud rumbling sound. That's right. I haven't got to the next page yet. Maybe he just has diarrhea. Everyone jumped up, alert, listening. The rumbling grew to a roar.
What's happening? Ben cried.
The elevator, Eloise Hella gasped, pointing.
We all hurried across the room. We were just a few feet away when the elevator doors slid open. We all stepped up to see who was inside.
Greta? I cried. It's Greta, probably, right? Or, you know, it could be someone else. He's really, really into the terrible twists on this one. We'll check it out.
This is chapter 28. Chapter 28.
No, not Greta. Told ya.
To my shock, Talia stood in the elevator doorway. She peered out tensely. Her blonde hair gleamed in the elevator light. Her blue dress sparkled brightly. The color almost hurt my eyes. A red-lipped smile spread over her face.
I found you! I did it! She cried happily.
She came running out of the elevator. With a happy cry, she threw her arms around Mary and hugged her tight. Then she hugged Eloise, Seth, Mona, and Eddie.
Why is she running out of the elevator? Why isn't she propping the door open? That's what old Dune would do.
Happy cries rang out from everyone. Talia, you came back. Are you okay?
We've been waiting for you. Whoa, wait, the elevator, I cried. Don't let it go. Thinking like old Dune.
I made a frantic dive. Too late. The doors slid shut. I crashed into them and bounced off. No! I crashed into them. Who seriously likes Dave Matthews? I don't get it. He doesn't sound at all like Young Thug. I let out a long, frantic wail. No! The elevator, I banged on the doors with both fists. I spun around to face Talia. She gasped and raised a hand to her mouth. Oh, I'm so sorry, she cried. Her blue eyes grew wide. I was so happy to see my friends, I forgot. But, I sputtered. I need to just make a sound every time it says, but, I sputtered. So it would be like, I was so happy to see my friends, I forgot. And that just means, but, I sputtered. Trembling, I slumped against the wall. Our one chance to escape. Too late. The five gray kids circled around Talia, hugging her, kissing her, axing her 1,000 questions. We missed you so much, Eloise, Hella cried. We waited for you to come back and rescue us. I missed you guys too, Talia told them. I tried to come back, but I couldn't find the way. I didn't know how to get back here until tonight. She turned to Ben and me. I escaped a few weeks ago, she sexplained. Just before school started, I went over to your world, the real world. Real world? Gray world. Featuring Puck. Yeah. But I had to disguise myself. I think I brought this up on another episode, but you know when I complained like crazy about losing my last phone? It's right in front of the real world San Diego house. And it's only like 20 feet into the water. So if anyone's a big fan of Dune Reads Goosebumps and, you know, the real world, you can head over there and mix your two interests together and find my old phone. You mean I started the makeup, Talia continued. The makeup and the lipstick. I had to keep putting that stuff on all the time to cover up my gray skin. But your eyes, I interrupted. They're blue. Contact lenses, she explained. She let out a long sigh. It was so hard, so much work. I had to be so careful. I had to apply coat after coat of makeup and lipstick. I couldn't let anyone know. Kids made fun of me, Talia sighed. Mimi, do people make fun of you, baby girl? No, you're gonna go upstairs? I understand, I'm pretty annoying. But that wasn't the worst part. I wanted to stay in the world of color and brightness, but I was a fake, a phony, covering it up with makeup. I no longer belonged there. I belong here, in Gray World. Talia sighed again. But I couldn't find the way back. Then tonight, you and Ben didn't return to the gym. I went searching for you. I found the hole in the boarded-up wall, and I found the elevator. And it brought me here, to my friends. Aw, it's a friend-ovator. Welcome back, Mary said, referencing a show that came out, you know, 30 years after she disappeared, putting a gray arm around the shoulders of Talia's dress. The color on the dress had already started to fade. You're right. This is where you belong, Seth told her. When you escaped, we thought about you all the time, Mona added. We were wondering how you were doing, and we wondered if you would come back for us. By the way, I drank all of the handle of cocktail. Now I'm drinking a vodka with club soda and then a little bit of Jarritos Fresa strawberry soda on top. Just a little floater, just for some flavor. You don't want to go there, Talia replied. And I don't want to go back. We don't belong there. We can't live there. I don't want to pretend anymore. I just want to stay here with you and be myself. What about the weird monster kids and the black liquid and the fact that there's no one else there? There's nothing to do. She pulled a makeup kit and tube of lipstick from her bag and tossed it down on the desktop. No more makeup. No more lipstick. No more pretending. I am gray. But what about us? Ben cried. Tommy and I have only a minute or two before we're totally gray. Aren't you going to help us escape from here? I pleaded. Aren't you going to help us get back? Talia shook her head, sadly. I'm sorry, guys.
Chapter 29.
I swallowed hard, thinking about home, my dad. I'm glad home came first, and it wasn't just, I swallowed hard, thinking about my dad. My new mom, my dog, that one also would have been bad coming first. Preceding the statement of my home or whatever, not coming first. Baby girl, come down here. I'll never see them again, I realized. I'll never see color again. Never see blue ocean waves or red setting sun. Or kind of not tanned, but not fully white, a little swarthy dune. I'm sorry, guys, Talia repeated. Sorry I didn't explain this to you right away. Explain what? I cried. I think I can get you back to the other side, she said. She picked up her lipstick tube. This is how I escaped a few weeks ago, she said. This lipstick tube was buried in my bag for 50 years. I'd forgotten all about it. She unscrewed the cap and showed us the bright red lipstick. I found it a few weeks ago. When I opened it, it was still red, Talia exclaimed. It's some kind of miracle. Maybe. Because it's been closed up, it still has its color. Wait, are the gray people trying to convince the dudes that they have to put on lipstick? Alright, so it's 100% agenda-based. Talia moved to the wall. I was so excited to see the color red after 50 years, she explained. I started drawing on the wall with it, and to my shock, wherever I spread the lipstick, it made a hole in the wall. And that's how glory holes are made in Grey World. That's amazing, Eddie cried. The others excitedly agreed. The lipstick burned right through the wall, Talia continued. I was so shocked. I didn't know what to do. I drew a window on the wall, and I climbed through it. I escaped. That's how I did it. Wasn't there, like, a kid's show, like a decade ago, about a kid that, like, drew with chalk, and whatever he drew with chalk came true? I know there's DS games, but that didn't go well. I downloaded one and put it on. I don't know why. It was, like, a kid's game. And it's like, draw what you look like. And it's like, here's a giant walking dick. And I'm like, now you can shoot a gun. What's the gun look like? A dick. And now what's your enemy? It's a dick. Point is, this is a whole game of dicks. Maybe I live in Grey World, am I right? She raised the lipstick tube to the gray wall. I tried to come back for you guys, she told her friends, but the hole closed up as soon as I went through it. She frowned. I drew a lipstick window on the wall on the other side, but in the real world, lipstick is only lipstick. It didn't work. I couldn't get back to you. I had no way of finding you, no way to return here. I glanced at Ben. To my horror, he had turned completely gray, except for the tip of his nose, like Randolph, the red-nosed wildebeest. Talia, hurry, I begged. Draw a window for Ben and me, please. We don't have any time left. Hey, I bet at this time period they're going to draw Windows 98. Good stuff, dude. Without another word, she turned to the wall. Her hand moved quickly, outlining a red window, filling it in. Hurry, please hurry, I pleaded, staring as she frantically rubbed the red lipstick over the wall. Would it work? We'll find out.
Chapter number 30, which is how old Dune will be in July. Which is also why Dune has been forcing himself to eat onions, because Dune hates onions. But he realized he can't be a 30-year-old man and find food icky, so I've been forcing myself to slowly try to eat them. Just giving you some insight into who I am as a person.
As soon as she finished the window, I grabbed Ben. I shoved him through the hole. Come on, I cried. We can do it.
See? You see all this? You know what I'm saying?
I grabbed Ben. I shoved him through the hole. Come on, I cried. We can do it. There's no way that an editor read this. It wasn't like, really? Goodbye, Ben. Goodbye, Tommy, the others called. Halfway through the wall, I turned back to them. Come with us, I cried. Hurry, you can come with us. No, we can't, Seth said softly and sadly and called. Talia's right. We'd hate it. We belong here now, Mary said. Don't forget me, Talia called. Her voice broke with sadness. She turned away. I turned too. Turned to the other world, our world. Ben and I stepped through the wall and found ourselves back in school. By the way, did the teachers know all about this? Why was there the room with the statues? What the hell's going on? I heard music booming down the hall. Kids shouting and laughing. The dance. We were back at the dance. With a gleeful shout, I shoved open the door to the boys' room. See which room he chose? Ben and I dove inside, ran up to the mirror, gaped at ourselves, our colorful selves. Oh no, we're black. No, I'm just kidding. All red and blue and pink and yellow, all in color. So many colors. The colors, Duke, the colors. We slapped each other high fives and tossed back our heads and screamed out our happiness. Screamed and screamed like Michael Jackson featuring Janet Jackson. We were back. Back to normal. Back in the world. Back at the dance. We banged open the boys' room door, burst into the hall, and ran into Mrs. Borden. There you are, she cried. I've been looking all over for you two. She grabbed each of us by the hand and began tugging us down the hall. Mrs. Borden, we have to tell you, I started. Later, she interrupted. She pushed us into the gym. We've all been waiting for you. You've held up everyone. But you don't understand, I sputtered. You want to be in the photo, don't you? Mrs. Borden demanded. Kids were lined up in front of the bleachers. She shoved Ben and me into the front row. We want everyone who worked on the dance in the photo, Mrs. Borden declared. She turned to the photographer behind his camera. Okay, Mr. Chameleon, she called. You can take the shot now. Mr. Who? I cried. No, wait. Flash. So it was Mr. Chameleon, the guy that took the picture that made all the other kids transport into the gray world. Anyway, I'm going to put this song at the end and maybe add a couple more episodes and try to get it out before Halloween so you guys can bump it for Halloween. It's also on YouTube. Search Baja Boys, Chupacabra Fiesta. So stay spooky, bitches. Here it is.
Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, muy borracho, gente taco. Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, todos los diablos viviendo con vato. Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, muy borracho, gente taco. Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, todos los diablos viviendo con vato.
Monsters climbed on the party bus in order for their big fall bash just south of the border. The Yeti showed up with his Himalayan snow, an entire brick of his whimsical blow. And Dr. Frankenstein's been locked in his lab. He's got powders, pills, drops, and his signature tabs. There's a golem that's made of pure rock crack. When he's not looking, scrape a hit off his back. Three witches have a cauldron but aren't brewing soup. It's premium malt liquor mixed with eye of newt. Vampires have a stash but avoid if squeamish. They're only into it if it's intravenous.
Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, muy borracho, gente taco. Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, todos los diablos. Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, muy borracho, gente taco. Fiesta, fiesta de Chupacabra, todos los diablos viviendo con vato.
Monsters of all kinds were keeping their cool until someone made the mistake of releasing the ghoul.
I came here to fuck shit from Mudgrave. I came with my thick dick be drippin' and lookin' for lovin'. I just smoke some weed with them goblins in the trees. And if you see Uncle Lurch, grab a couple rocks for me. Humans be hating, don't know where I came from. I traveled through Midian and graveyards to make it. Fiesta VIP, you can love it or hate it. Now I'm bouncing out the party, left every girl in here pregnant.
Fiesta, fiesta, de chupacabra, no.